Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been elsewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we all those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 16, Nashville, Episode 23, Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, we still have two more recaps to go because you got a two-part reunion, which means over the next 3 weeks, because next week is another fill the gapper week of episodes.
Because, well, that we are not doing. So I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean it's all season. One of the things I noticed was that some people on there that you wouldn't even know, like the Dallas season, which was an interesting one. I was telling you about that one where the guy, as they're getting ready to go on their honeymoon, his wife gets detained by the authorities. And you know, when you get detained at the airport, that's not a, oh, my bad. Go ahead. Please go make your flight.
Yeah, I didn't recognize when they were showing the preview of that. I didn't recognize hardly. I think only recognized two people.
You didn't recognize also Jeff D and for the life of me, I can never remember his wife's name, but they were from the first Boston season. no challenge, you're absolutely correct. Since season to infinity and beyond, because that's exactly what this feels like. But yeah, Jeff D and them, I thought they were a great couple too, and I always liked them. But it's interesting, you know, that was the black couple that was sitting there. Let me just.
I don't know who they are. I just recognize Steve and Lindsay.
Yeah,
they were from San Diego.
Right, that's why Steve was there too, and right, Lindsay was. And the woman that was sitting next to Steve in that preview is from another season. Her and her husband, they call it quits. So this is not the first time. This season is not the first time we've seen couples that didn't make it through the process, or that weren't completely attracted to each other. Shanice, there you go, Dallas boss. That was today. Shanice. Yes, thank you. Everyone, thank you. And Mia and Tristan. That's right. So that was the guy's name. So the guy in Dallas was Tristan. His wife was Mia, who was half Trinidadian. Did not have that Trinidadian flair to her at all, boy. None. she came off as the most submissive Trinidadian woman I've ever met in my life. And then Mindy was the ice skater. Yep. This is why when I can't remember the names, you just say it and the live chat comes through. And Mindy was from a different season. Chocolate Sooner. I would say watch it still. We may not review it, but at least watch it.
Y'all can watch it. Y'all can watch it.
I did. I'm gonna
reclaim my time. Reclaiming my time on Wednesdays next week.
Well, you know, we got to talk about it too, because something else just popped up and just started that we may have to jump on. But let's save that for a later time. We won't do it like, you know. I know Monday you called me out for being late because kind of took a nap. You know, we know you actually are usually late when people don't see it because it's behind the scenes when you're late to the pre-show.
But I'm always on time when it's ready to go live.
Not always. Let's not lie like that.
Always on time, ready to
Let's
go
not
live.
Start the show off with a lie. Hey, look, now you're going to make me break out the Tito. See, if you're going to start lying, I have to pour me a drink. I was trying to go with the water today.
Well, right, you like your naps. I get it.
Hey, man, some of us get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work, okay?
That sucks. That's all I got to tell you. Yeah, that sucks.
Yes, but friends like you, who needs enemies? Let's start off this week with Kirsten and Jasmine. You know, they get together, just, you know, doing a little fellowship, and Jasmine says that she and Eris have moved on, and again, we're right back onto this. We're both out in the streets. I'm like, shit, another week of this. Damn it, man.
Ignorant ass. In these streets. No, you're not. So they're talking, and then Kirsten, you know, says, all right, let's talk money. And she has this business idea. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm an entrepreneur, which I'm like, no, you're not. And then Jasmine has two businesses.
Hate that word.
And just thought we could be a business together. And I was like, looking at her apartment, she doesn't look like she does well in real estate. So I don't know if I'd want to go in business with you. And then the concept that she wants to do, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But the names they were throwing back and everything had to have rock and roll bus, mm-hmm. dream escape bus, just everything bus. I was like, stop it.
Well, you know, when you think about the party bus idea, right? Because she's like, okay, all these bachelorette parties that are there and that come to Nashville. I'm like, okay, so these are mostly, I'm sure they have a couple black ones, but they're mostly white ones, right? So, you know, Kirsten wanted to go more general market with the name because, you know, rock and roll, but that's why she's going with rock and roll, right? And Jasmine felt like she wanted to go more bougie or slash urban with hers. They're like, you ain't going to get the same clientele now.
Not in Nashville. you might want to rethink that. That's all I'm saying. And to answer Kitty's question, Burberry. That's what I'm wearing, Burberry.
Jupe?
Burberry.
Hey, Nubian Mahogany is right down the same line as you. She says, entrepreneur. Yeah, because you're not feeling Kirsten's entrepreneurial spirit this episode at all.
She doesn't seem like she has the drive mm-hmm. to do something like that. I mean, I think to start a business, build a business, what they're talking about doing, it's a lot of work. And she, to me, I just feel like there's a lot of quit in her. Well, as the old folks say, she got a lot of quit in her.
I don't know why you would say that, because she actually tried to stick around through decision day, and you know, certain people, your frat, was on a different thing. But here's the thing about this. The thing I have is with the numbers they put up, right? Like, okay, so here's the max that we can earn. And we can, if we did this and we booked out every time, we can make $10,000 in a weekend. I'm like, that's great. What the numbers you're multiplying now for that half a mil is, if you made $10,000 every weekend, that's not going to happen.
Right.
That's just,
and you got to factor the cost of mm-hmm. the vehicle, mm-hmm. Insurance for the vehicle. Mm-hmm. You can't just have one employee. And I don't mm-hmm. think Kirsten or Jasmine is going to drive the bus. Mm-hmm. So you got to have some employees, some staff, then you got to do marketing, all those different pieces that go into it. I'm like, yeah, that $10,000 sounds great, but that's gross. That's before expenses. Mm-hmm. And everything. Right. You got to think a little bit better on that. But I mean, I like the idea. I like that they're trying to come up with something. It's creative. Why not? You know, yeah. Have a dream, go for it. She just doesn't seem like she has the hustle. If it was Gina and said, hey, Jasmine, we should start a business together, I'd be like, makes sense, because Gina's going to work her butt off. Kirsten, right, on the other hand,
all she's going to do is talk about it. But okay, so here's what Dallas Boss says, and this could be true too. Kirsten didn't want to give her best ideas in front of the camera. And we know you're not going to agree with that, because you just have something against her anyway, because she reminds you of somebody.
What other best idea does Kirsten have? I mean, you're a realtor, and look at that apartment. She's not selling a whole lot. So she's keeping a whole lot of good ideas secret, I guess. She has the cure for cancer. She's just not telling it to everybody right now. Whatever.
Waiting to sell it. Chocolate Suda has a great idea, though. Boot, Scoot, and Boogie should be their bus.
That's actually not a bad name when you think about Nashville. I mean, you're going to get sued, but that's yeah. not a bad name. But I mean, I think a country-themed deal, and maybe mm-hmm. something, you know, targeting, you know, you might have something set up for the bachelorette parties that come to Nashville. I mean, I think there's some legs to this idea. Mm-hmm. I just don't think Kirsten's going to be the one to make that happen.
Hey, before we move on from them, and since you brought up the apartment a number of times, Terry G wants to point out that is not Kirsten's apartment. And we knew that. We said that from the very beginning. Because she most right. likely doesn't want to film at her actual home. And you know what? That I could understand, too. Because if she's got a model home, you want to come to my... Let's go to this one.
Okay. So let's just say that's the case, right? Mm-hmm. And I lean that way, too, that wasn't her place. We all said that. Mm-hmm. But you could fake it, stage it, go to Hobby Lobby, buy some stuff, keep the receipt, and just have it for when the crew comes, and then take it down, take it back, get your money back. Mm-hmm. You know, she looked, her place looked busted, like there was no effort put mm-hmm. into that, which takes me to my point about hustle. If you're going right. to try to pull a sham, put some work into it. Mm-hmm. You just can't put a bed. There's no desk. There's no nightstand. There wasn't yep. anything in that place. So if you're gonna fake it, fake it.
Yeah,
fake it. Go all out.
And Chocolate Suna has the I actually read it wrong because no copyright if you do the boot scoot and bougie.
Got it.
Yes.
I agree then. See, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Tell them you want your 10% now because if they actually use it, make sure you get your part of it. Dominique, we run into her and she's out going for margaritas with her mom. She still thinks it's weird that Mac went out with Gina. And I find it weird that she keeps thinking it's weird.
She's just immature. I mean, that's just what it boils down to. She's just mm-hmm. very immature. But mm-hmm. if you say it doesn't bother you, then don't even mention it. Who cares?
Right.
That they went out. You know, nothing happened with you and Mac. It's mm-hmm. not like y'all slept together. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it's totally okay. If they had consummated their marriage, then I'd be like, this is kind of weird.
Had they kissed more than once? Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, it was straight friend zone for a long period of time. And then it wasn't like after the 11th, they lasted 11 days. It wasn't on day 12. He was like, hey, Gina. So,
exactly.
Know? So mm-hmm. I think it's fair, but she should just let that go. But what did you think of her telling her mom about Gil? And like, I've always wanted to go to Texas. I'm like, Dom, there's no way you're going to leave your mama. If Gil can't move to Nashville, you are staying in Nashville. Why even waste Gil's time?
Okay, but is it that or just that she really wasn't into Mac from the very beginning? You can see, even when they showed at the end of today's episode, right? They showed the pictures and they showed some video of them. And the one they showed of those two was him kissing her on the cheek and her looking away like, you know, just she was never into him. Even at the altar, she was not into him, and she just never cared. And there's nothing that he could have done. And he didn't have enough swag to sway her in his direction. So that was a problem. So I think had he been somebody, and probably Michigan just wasn't on her list of places. Texas at least is warm. I don't know if she understands what Texas is like, and that you know she's still a little tan for Texas, but.
yeah and that Houston heat and humidity, you might want to rethink that. Yeah. But yeah, she probably didn't like Mac at all, and mm-hmm. that was Mac, you know, in between weed money jobs,
right?
And so now that he's back into the weed business, I wonder what type of swag he's going to have now.
Well, you notice he was carrying himself a little different. You know, he had a little bit more, you know, pep in his step when he was walking around all those weed plants in one of those growing facilities that he's overseeing, one of the three that he's overseeing now. So, you know, back to Dom, though, her mom said she was apologetic because she felt like she forced Dominic into the experiment. And was it really? Because her mom, even Dominic was like, nah, well, I wouldn't have done it if I didn't want to. The two of them, you know, they wanted to be on TV. That's all it was.
Her mom pushed it.
Yeah.
Her mom pushed it. Let's just be, it is what it is. Her mom pushed it. She just went with it because she does what mom says, because they're that close.
Now, when they went to, we fast forward a little bit, the FaceTime call with Gil. It felt like Dom was expecting a little romance, right? In this setup called Gil came on all business. And the minute that she said that, you know, well, you know, I went through the process, you know, I was married for 11 days. And then that, he was like, And he turned into his expert philosopher, AKA the original Nicole, extra expert on the show that he was on season 13.
Yeah. As soon as he found that out, she said, well, how long was it? A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? She's like 11 days. And he was just like, well, you got to give it a chance. You got to give it some time.
Right.
You know, and she was looking like she was getting scolded by her dad. You know,
yes.
He was talking
We found her dad. He's really not, he's really not white. He's from South America.
Yeah. Yeah. Dom cannot handle a guy like Gil. She's not ready for a guy like Gil. Gil doesn't want this party girl that Dom is. And, you know, I love the way it ended because he was like, well, you know, I have a tight schedule the next 4 weeks. You know, I'm like, yeah, a tight schedule for the next 4 weeks is code for I'm not interested.
Well, that's part of it. But I thought it came a little earlier because, you know, you hear that and you went, okay, for the next 4 weeks, you have no time. I thought, well, he goes, all right, well, I'm going to let you go. The minute somebody says, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah.
There's nothing good that was happened right before that and nothing good going to happen after that.
I think when I lived in Nebraska, we call that the Midwest goodbye, where you're just like, well, you get up. That's your cue. We're about to go.
Yeah, like even Sophia said, let's see, Sophia said on Couples Couch, Gil was more interested in Kirsten. Like Kirsten was more his speed than Dom would have been, right?
Who knows?
Mimi said she complimented him. He said, thank you. And moving along. You see, she's like, you look nice. He's like,
It's like, thank you. And then when someone says, oh, I'm flattered. That's I'm not interested.
Right. But let's be honest. The way she was, the way you said it sounded like she was being scolded. She sounded like a high school kid, a freshman talking to their dad because it was just two levels of conversation. And they were nowhere near the same.
Mm-hmm. Very, very much so. And she's like, I like how he's articulate. And I'm like, yeah, he's a man. Mm-hmm. He's an adult, which you're not. And I agree with, did you put that up?
Yeah.
Was this? Yes, he is way too mature for her. And then Lucy B says, come on now. No man is ever that busy to squeeze in a date if he's interested. Exactly. He could text. You got 5 minutes for a quick FaceTime. If he was interested, he could make that happen. He's not.
Well, and she thinks that he's going to text her still. It was like, yeah, no, it ain't happening. Nah.
No.
Well, speaking of these awkward dates, Eris goes on a date with Kendra, right? Who we find out also went through the process but wasn't chosen, which... We're going to come back to that whole thing about being in the process before, after we get through this Eris date, because something popped up. I saw that Mavs fan posted, and we got to talk about that a little bit. But what did you think of this date with Eris and Kendra?
I mean, great. You know, I think as a couple, they look good together. You know, Kendra's attractive. It was just boring. Like, listening to them talk to each other was just so boring. I'm like, are we watching this because there's something that's going to happen, some tea that's going to get spilled that's going to make this interesting? It was just a really boring date. Now, they have a lot of things in common.
What did you want from this?
It's just boring. Like, what's the point of us listening to this? You could have skipped it, and we wouldn't have missed anything. There would be no thought of ourselves like, God, I wonder what happened on that date. We wouldn't have cared. So it was just boring.
Did you want Eris to say, well, what's your favorite position? Is that what you wanted to ask?
Yes. I want to see which Eris are we going to see. Is he going to come out hitting with the hard questions? Like when she said that, what temperature do you keep your house? He said 68. And when she said, oh, I keep mine at 69, I'm like, Eris, the window is open.
Yes.
Go through it.
She opened that door. He was like,
she opened the door. Go on through it. Let me hear some Eris stuff. When she said 69, I'm sure he was trying to everything within him to hold it in. Like
he closed that door so damn fast. I was shocked. They're like, what happened? And you know, Chaka Suda has a great question. Why was Kendra not put with him in the first place? They had more in common than he and Jasmine. They really had a lot in common, right? You know, they were only kids. They neither like dairy. Both have their house set at 68, 69. You know.
Both lost their dads, right. Only child, you know, raised by single moms. It would make more sense for them to be together. But Eris wanted a queen. And then when they saw Jasmine, they're like, well, this is it. This has to be.
Well, you know what it is, too. They also try to match people who are not alike, but are different, to pull different things out of each other. And I think that's the flaw in the system as well. So I get sometimes you see why they would match different people. Different personalities because they want to go with the opposites attract thing, but that doesn't always work. The thing that I did like, though, about Kendra was she was able to pull more out of Eris. We learned more about Eris in this one date, this one boring-ass date, than we did in 8 weeks of boring-ass marriage with Jasmine, okay? Like, take for instance, Kendra asked, all right, so why are y'all getting divorced? And he was like, well, you know, it just didn't work out. She goes, okay, I'm going to need just a little bit more.
Yeah.
She was not playing that, just give me this half-ass answer and that's it. She was like, no, no, no. Keep talking. Use your words, Eris.
And that's what Jasmine should have did.
Yes.
When they first started getting to know each other, ask yes. questions and keep digging deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you got to be married to each other. So go ahead. I need to find out all the stuff I want to know and just dig deep. But Jasmine didn't do that. So Kendra, from a conversation standpoint, I think it's better.
Yeah.
For Eris, but it's still Eris. You know, okay. Watching him with his poor eye contact and all that, I'm just like, Kendra, why would you? Why would you want to?
Do you think they would have been a perfect match, or at least a good match? Because Marcy says Mavs is looking for drama, not perfect matches. And it almost feels like Eris and Kendra would have been, like, again, because she pulled more out of him. And is this because we're seeing the new, improved Eris? Because if she was on that first, she'd been married with him, and she said the temperature at 69, you know, he would have been like, and what's the perfect temperature what's the perfect position, your favorite position when the temperature's at 69 degrees?
Well, here's what I think would have happened if they'd have matched them up, because she seems to be, I would say, a little more, well, I can't make that hasty generalization. She came across like her religion and faith is really important to her.
Yes.
I can't see her being on camera talking about her favorite sex position.
Right.
I think she would be offended, just like Jasmine was offended, and then it would go downhill from there.
Did you notice that when, because she did bring that faith up quite a bit, and so his covenant was, oh, some people.
Yeah. He said, I think going to church is good for you. I'm going to go on a mountain and meditate, but I'm not going to church. I was like, well, don't y'all say you got to be equally yoked? This doesn't sound like equally yoked. So
he never said me, though. He never said I. He was just like, some people. Like, he was almost afraid to say that.
But if he believed the same thing that she did, if he felt he was a Christian, he wouldn't have answered that way.
True. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we knew he was talking about himself. Donna said Eris gave lots of eye contact, too. Did you notice that?
It's okay. Maybe he's a little bit better, but still, just not a fan of him.
Mm-hmm. So next up was this doggy birthday party. I'm sure you've been to a number of these. I mean,
haven't.
The dog doesn't know. The dog doesn't care. Trust me. Doesn't even matter.
Yeah, the dog's like waking up and going, guess what day it is? Guess what day?
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait.
Dog's going to be pinning dollar bills on himself, just strutting around.
Be nice. Pet me. It's my birthday. Y'all don't leave these damn dogs alone, Jesus Christ. Man, but did you notice Dom and Mac, you know, even though Mac was like, well, he didn't care to see or talk to Dom, but they hugged twice.
Yeah, being cordial, but he's still butthurt.
Mm-hmm.
He's still butthurt. And he was on the after party, I think, last week.
Yeah.
Where he was saying that, look, that was just me being, you know, in my feelings about the whole thing. So maybe it's the same deal, but he's still butthurt about Dom.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm glad that they can all get along. It looked like they had fun. And then Kirsten shows up pulling a Yanni complaining about dogs. And I'm like, if you don't like it, don't go to the party.
Well, she didn't go there to see the dog. Look, like she said, hey, I know it's your party. You can cry if you want to, but you can't jump on me. Back the fuck up.
All I'm saying, if you don't like dog parties, don't go to it. Just don't whine and complain about other people's. It's not for you. That's fine. That's what they're doing.
Like, all she said was, she said, I like dogs from a distance. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. Keep your dog, keep your mutt over there. How about that? That's all. But, you know, the thing is, that here's the 360 that also happened. From people who weren't big dog folks, Eris and Clint both said they were thinking of getting dogs, right? So there's your progress. You've converted two people. Be happy in that. Leave Kirsten and her, you know, loving dogs from a distance alone.
It's great. I just get annoyed when I hear people complaining about it. I'm like, don't go. If you don't like it, don't go.
I'm not. Thank you, Mimi. Chris's unruly dog jumping on people. I don't need your dog jumping on me. Period.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that she did tell the group, Kirsten told the group, was that she reached out to Shaq when he lost his grandmother. And when they were asking, well, what about being friends? And she's like, yeah, well, I'm not pressed about being friends with Shaq. And, obviously not. And why should she be? I know we're going to talk more about that a little bit more when we get to when we get down to the time when they actually speak, right?
Right.
But Clint and Hank, these two, I mean, they start off the episode and these two are, you know, the old buddy cop movie to the point that they're even interviewing Hank now.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that's whatever. But you can just tell Clint really loves this dog and Hank really loves Clint, you know, so you'd hope that they would have stayed together and Gina just sold him for the 10 G's.
Yeah.
Cause you can still, I'm like, Gina, take the money. The dog is just like down the hall where you live.
Look, Dina says, can Clint take Hank to the groomer already? And Mimi's like, Clint and Hank belong together. Now, well, Clint decided to go look for his own golden doodle. What did you think of his session to go find this new dog?
I like the fact that he's doing his due diligence on it, because some people just sporadically, I want to get a dog. Mm-hmm. And they get it, and it's not the best situation. But those golden doodle puppies were super cute. I was hoping he was going to get one of those. I was like, come on, dude. That's, look at that face. That one you're holding, that's all you right there.
I like that he was not an impulse buyer. He's like, you know, it's very hard for me to let this dog go, but I'm putting this little sucker back right now.
Well, and he's checking with other breeders, and I think that's smart on his part.
But he also has a connection with Hank. That's why he's willing to just, I'll just pay the money for Hank, and that's what it is, right? So, but while we're on Clint right here, one of the things that popped up our Mavs fan was his date from last week, right? Mm-hmm. And someone noticed and posted it that, hey, does this person look like Nicole, the one that Clint went on a date with? Because this is from the matchmaking special at the start of the season. And it's like, remember they said it was, oh, one of his friends hooked him up?
Right.
And it's just like, this season has dragged on so long that they're going back and getting the people, the extras from the beginning of the season and go, hey, we may have an opportunity for you here. Would you like some camera time?
It's like, what, the 12th man, they're going out to the stands. You. Come on down here. We want you on a date with Clint. Here's the deal. It's going to be safe.
Because that's also what it felt like with Eris, right? I mean, the only thing they didn't say was that's what happened with the date with Jasmine.
Right.
And they just haven't said it with anybody else. But yeah, it almost feels like that's what it is. Like Deborah says, Mavs be lying.
Yeah. That friend boy was also in the casting crew.
Right.
Each other.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. Now Gina goes to meet with her mom, her parents, and she tells them that, you know, Clint keeps offering her money for Hank and 10 G's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said, you're not going to take my grandbaby. I get it. I totally get it. What threw me off is Gina's mom just, I don't understand why Clint didn't fall head over heels for you. Wait till you watch the show. Then you'll see why.
Well, at least Gina was like, well, that's because you're my mom. And right. You have no idea what an asshole I am.
Well, and it was nice. I guess Mac was still in the picture, which I haven't watched the after party for tonight's show because I know Mac and Gina were both on it.
Yeah.
But I guess Mac is still, that's still a possible thing.
It's even on the, you didn't miss anything on the after party because they really didn't say anything. It's just they both want to be pursued. I'm like, and that's the, here's where Mac lost me in this, because, you know, Gina felt like she wasn't being pursued in her marriage. And, you know, that's what Mac said, too. Well, you know, I felt like I wasn't being pursued either. I'm like, okay.
You weren't, because she wasn't interested.
Exactly. But
now Mac got all that weed money. He's like, yeah, I'll pursue you. I got this.
Exactly. Now, Gina also had another conversation, this time with her lawyer, who advised her to put it in writing every time that Clint comes to pick up Hank, just so he knows that, hey, this is just temporary, because possession is 9/10 of the law.
See, I didn't care for this whole part right here. I'm like, you didn't even need the, this is not even necessary.
It wasn't.
You know, because A, it really wasn't. She knew all those details before she did the show.
Yeah.
So you get to find all these things out. Then she's like, well, I have my own business. What about our taxes? I'm like, y'all are married for 8 weeks and you're not going to be married when you like, that's just dumb. If you're an entrepreneur, and then the whole dog thing, I'm like, come on, you know, Clint's not going to try to take your dog.
Right. He's offered you enough money before. Trust me. And here's the thing about it, though. I think this is where the filler gets in for trying. This was episode 23. We still have two more to go.
Right.
It's 24 and 25. There's a quarter century. We should all get a silver medal by the time we finish this season. You know, the 25th mm-hmm. anniversary is a silver anniversary. We all deserve a silver medal after this season. Seriously. 25 episodes.
I know. Oh, and how much does a divorce cost? Like, you're going to have to pay for it. Okay. Whatever.
Facts. Next up, you had Jasmine, Shaq, and Eris, right? Mm-hmm. And those three sitting down. And it was, I'll say this, it did look kind of weird that, you know, Shaq is sitting there and all of a sudden Jasmine and Eris come in. I mean, they, again, this another buddy cop movie right here, because these two come in and they're just like bouncing off each other and just, they're cool. This is the best they look. In their marriage, they did not look this comfortable around each other. Mm-mm. This is the best they have looked. They're going to make great friends. And you know what? I'm happy for them in that sense, right? But Shaq sounds salty as hell. Salty as hell. Why was he so worried about the call from Kirsten when he's the one who said no?
Because he didn't know. I don't know. I can't speak for him on that one. I don't know. Because if I try to say something, people got to think I'm defending him. I'm like, well, you break up with somebody and then all of a sudden you get that call. You're like, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. You know, I really don't want to have to deal with this. I'm dealing with my grandmother. Maybe that was it. But mm-hmm. And it's just Shaq being in his feels. And, you know, he's passionate about trying to stay friends with Kirsten. Mm-hmm. And thinks that it's doesn't really understand why Kirsten's being all funny about it. I'm like, dude, you divorced her. Mm-hmm. When she wanted to stay, you didn't.
Right.
Why would she want to be your friend? And then when he asked Jasmine and Eris, well, what did y'all do? Like, why has it worked that y'all are friends? I was like, well, this is easy. They didn't sleep together. They didn't touch each other.
No channel said the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You had no physical contact. So, yeah, it's easy to walk away. You painted Kirsten up and slept with her.
Yeah.
And got her to start to like you. Mm-hmm. And so now you ended. Why would she want to stay friends with you?
The fact that he was like, you know, she sat across from me and when they all got together after decision day and she didn't even look at me. But why would she? You left. You said no. And then is all in his feelings talking about, well, you know, my decision is still my decision, you know, and I'm not going to go back and forth on whether we're going to be friends or we're going to talk or not. I'm like, you're the only one stressing about it because she don't give a shit.
Nope. She's done. She closed that door.
Here's the interesting thing. On the after party, they showed that clip. And she was just like, well, Jemele Hill was like, look, you know, sometimes you need a little extra patience. And I would have needed it for this. And Kirsten's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm not, she's just not even worried about it in this space. Like, because he's making it out to be something that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You made the decision. You're going to have to live with it. And that's the problem that he's having. A hard time dealing with it.
Yeah, I mean, but you made it. You made that call for a reason. And, you know, we'll hear more of his explanation of why he said no. But it still was again, a waste. I was a waste. Go ahead.
Angelita has a good question. Says, it's still unanswered. Why was Shaq crying?
Oh, he did bring that up. He did bring that up when they finally do meet up and talk about that.
Right. So that's right, because we're going to get to that in a little bit, too.
Right.
But before they met up, Kirsten met with her cousin and her Takina and Takina's husband, Greg, to let them know that her and Shaq didn't make it.
this was another part that I'm like, you didn't even need to do this. It was really pointless for them to get together. So, and I'm thinking like, you could have texted your cousin 19 days ago. Hey.
No. Okay. So here's what I like about this though. I think they still provided a couple things in this, and maybe it's because I've been no fan of Shaq all season long. I've sided with him on a couple things here and now, you know, but that's about it. But the majority of it, no. But what they said was like, I think Takino's one who said it, like, Shaq wanted something completely packaged the way he wanted it. That's what he viewed marriage as. Like, it's got to be exactly this way, right? Because, again, this whole Memphis thing popped back up again. Like, oh, my God, how many times are we going to talk about this? I know you've been like, but here's the thing. Kirsten says she's going to go meet up with Shaq. Like, she has no real desire to talk to him. It's nothing, but they're going to meet up. And she's like, Takino's like, yeah, nah. If you divorce me or you break up with me, we have nothing else to talk about.
Right. I mean, he said what he had to say. There's no point. Y'all don't have, like, you know, you don't have to move out of his house or he has to move out of yours. Mm-hmm. You don't have to give each other keys. Done deal. Walk away. I wouldn't have done that. And I think,
right,
to me, it seems like the only thing that Kirsten wants to know is why he was crying. And she has to tell everybody, oh, he was crying. Like, why do you keep doing that?
Because it's weird. You're the one breaking up with her. She said, and here's the thing. It's not like she said yes after he said no. Mm. She had already said yes. And then his jackass decides to just, I'm going to go ahead and say no and bawl my eyes out just so I can, you know, keep her on the string and see if I can't get it back.
I don't think I've cried breaking up with somebody.
Did you cry because somebody broke up with you?
Yeah, I've had that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I've
that's
cried.
That's my point, though.
I don't think I might. Well, here's the deal. Or if I did, got a little sad about it, mm-hmm, it wasn't right in front of them.
Right.
It was, I mean, I'm still in HR mode. Hey, this is really not working out.
It was later on when you were calling and all the other backups are not making it. Like, damn it.
Yeah, then you're at home and listening to some old school, sipping some whiskey. And you start thinking about it, like, you know, she was actually a really good girl.
But they get up, they meet up, and she does ask him about the crying. And were you satisfied with his answer?
You know, I just had to do best for me. Hooked on phonics, work for me. So he chose what he thought was going to be best for him. And mm-hmm, he was saying that, you know, he didn't like have it planned that he was going to say no, which I doubt that. But mm-hmm, then when he was like, I feel like I couldn't believe I was even saying it, mm-hmm, that it was coming. I was just like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
You had an outer body experience to break up. And as you're hearing it, you start crying. Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
You know, Tanya has a great point here. She said Kirsten was faking in that meeting with her cousins. She made it seem like Shaq wanted to talk. And she asked for it. Then later she said she still didn't get the closure. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Jasmine said this earlier, and I thought Jasmine was maybe overstepping in saying that when they sat down with Shaq and said, well, she's hurt and she just needs the time to heal. And I thought, well, maybe she's overstepping that a little bit. You know, maybe she's reaching a little bit. But that's a great point there, Tanya. She's still hurt. And the difference is sometimes when a woman is hurt, you notice if they get to that, they cut that shit off and be like, nah, I don't even want to. That's why the fact that she even reached out in the first place says a whole lot.
Yeah, but also part of me says that the show made them do it. Mm-hmm. Oh. Like, she probably really didn't want to. Like, hey, we're going to need you. You want this money? Mm-hmm. Get on out there. We're going to need you to go do this. But I don't understand, what more closure do you need from I want a divorce? And 8 weeks. It's not like they've been married 10 years, two kids. I want a divorce and out right. the blue and you're blindsided. That's part of the show. So he wants a divorce. He told you, I don't feel like you support me and all my needs and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's your closure. It was done.
So I think the best line, though, of the entire episode came when Shaq said, so where do we go from here? Carson said, "Our separate ways."
I loved that. I was like, "Yes." And then he got like, all butthurt about that. Yeah, he got all sensitive about that. And then afterwards, you know, when the camera's on him, you know, she's just not nurturing. You know, didn't see, do your family need anything or whatever? I'm like, this dude constantly has sand in his vagina. And it's just annoying listening to him be so irritable. So Kirsten did the, she's dodging a bullet. And I think she's realizing it.
Because think about this. He's saying she's not nurturing, right? But she called him, even though he had never, he's the one that broke up with her, never called her after they broke up. Still butthurt that she didn't look at him across the table. Why should she? You broke up with her. Okay. You should expect that. Well, he wanted to be longing across the table, reaching across, trying to play footsies with him or something under the table. Wasn't going to happen, right?
No.
She called you after your grandmother passed. You, and she said this on the after party, that he was even thankful and grateful that she called. So then why are you on camera now talking about, well, she's not nurturing? She called you. What do you want to do? Show up at the funeral? Come hold your hand? Say this is to make up for Memphis?
Sorry to hear about your grandma. We good?
I'm just saying. She did.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. She didn't have to. Yes, she met the grandmother at the wedding. She doesn't know her. She didn't have to. She only been married to that man, known him for 8 weeks. She didn't have to. She did it.
No, she didn't. And just be thankful that she did and move on. But Shaq wants a mom. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want a wife. He wants a mommy that's going to be there front row when you're at the spelling bee and, you know, come home and nurture you, make you feel good.
I'm going to tell you something. I want to point this out. How bad Shaq is and how long the season has been. It's been so long. How long is it? Even your frat brother Charles has come around and said, our separate ways, she's too high school for a mama's boy.
See?
Even your frat brother Charles, who has been the biggest Shaq supporter all season long, has come around to the other side. Welcome to the dark side, my brother. Welcome to the dark side.
I tried to really defend him and, you know, got to protect my boy. Then after a while, I'm like, okay, I just can't now.
Look, again, why it's a great point here, because we talk about the fact that she didn't have to even make that phone call. I'm not going to even mess up the pronunciations. I've been messing up pronunciations all day. So it says, married 17 years. My father died during our divorce. My ex didn't even come to the funeral. What? 17 years.
Right.
8 weeks.
It happens, but 8 weeks, Kirsten doesn't know Shaq a thing.
At all.
She went above and beyond to make that phone call to say, hey, condolences. Da, da, da. But then after that, what does Shaq expect her to do? Well, hey, I'm going to fry some chicken. I could bring it over. To you. You want me to come with you to the funeral and be with you? So why would he even expect her to do anything or even volunteer?
Yeah. No, facts. And, you know, and I don't say that everybody's not against Shaq in this. So there are some people who are actually on Shaq's side in this, you know, and saying that, you know, you can't forget what Kirsten did. And, you know, like Marcy said, Kirsten really believed the first 6 weeks wouldn't matter. Shaq did the right thing in saying no. Maybe so, but and you and I talked about this in the fact that he was still a little butthurt over the fact that she said she wasn't attracted. And she said that too. She even said this on the after party that he said no. She felt he said no because it was revenge and payback for her saying that she wasn't attracted to him in the beginning. Now, the one thing I will say, she was wrong for saying that to him in the very beginning.
Right.
You don't have to say that.
So I don't think that Shaq is that diabolical to like just plot this out. I'm going to get my revenge because you weren't attracted to me. But I do think when it comes to the show, if you tell your partner in the first week, I'm not attracted to you. Mm-hmm. That does something to any person, because it's one thing to say, I don't like that shirt. I don't like those shoes. But then to look at someone and say, I don't like any of this. Like all this you have going on.
All this.
I'm not feeling. Totally dries me up. Just looking at you. Nothing ever will happen. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, but then over the course of time, as the expert try to, you know, get these couples to break down that barrier that's focused on looks, and they start to realize, holy crap, I actually am interested in this person. I feel, because you already made the announcement, I'm not attracted. You have to go above and beyond to make me feel like you're attracted to me. And I don't think Kirsten did that.
What's the couple? I'll let everyone else. Jamie and, God, I can't remember the name. But from the first, from season one, they're the ones, they're still together now, right? She cried coming down the aisle. And I keep telling you about this because you have to go back and watch season one just to see this. She cried coming down the aisle because she was so unattracted to who she was about to marry. And Doug, Jamie and Doug, she looked at Doug and was like, oh, hell no. Cried, cried, cried. Treated him like shit on the honeymoon. When the tables turned and she started to notice the good things in him and he was already fed up with her, the thing about it was he had that for a moment, but he was man enough to go, you know what? Let's see if we can make this work. And they did, to the point that they had all these other kids. So,
but did she, in that season, once she realized she actually does like him, did she start doing the things that it would make a person feel like you're attracted to me?
You know, we'd have to go. That's a great season to go back and go look at.
Don't try to suck me into that. No.
That's no, how you play the long game.
Yeah. Don't try to suck me into that. Mm-mm.
Come on, that was a good one.
It's a good all try. Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I was working on that all show. Axes for exes, as Clint called it, when everybody gets, well, almost everybody gets together, and they finally pay off what they've been teasing all season long. But before they do that, we realize that we know Nicole can't throw a ball, but we knew that she wouldn't be able to throw an axe too, right?
Have you done axe throwing?
No.
Okay, I've done it. It's not as easy.
I'm not surprised.
As it looks.
I know it's not. That's why I'm not that surprised.
That sounds a little judgy.
Not at all. You're impulsive. How did you end up skydiving? Impulsive.
Actually, it was a work event. And so I didn't plan to go axe throwing. It was a work event. So I can either go to my desk and do some work or go outside and throw some axes.
I don't think we'll do that at our work.
Yeah.
Tempers flare a little too much for that. I work with creatives. You don't want to do that.
So, I mean, I was curious to see what this whole thing was going to be about, because the whole seemed like weeks have been up to this buildup. But first question is, why did Eris come in dressed like Prince to go throw axes? That whole outfit that he had, I was like, are you performing?
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, like, why you're just throwing axes?
Yeah,
like, what do you just? It's a bit much. He's just extra.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of Clint learning what "Hey, Big Head" means?
Yeah. he said apparently, "Hey, Big Head" is when you call one of your old shouties. I was like, this is why I'd want to have a beer with Clint. That dude's hilarious. He's like, I thought it was somebody with like a really big head.
Yeah, that's when you realize, you know, there's a difference. There's a cultural difference there. So, and then watching them try to explain it to him was just like hilarious. But then Nicole then takes things into her. Oh yeah, and just. Pink Butterflies is the way Clint says shawty.
Yeah. It was just funny to me. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. So, something about it, when he says certain things, it's that fine line between hilarious and, are you trying to make fun? It's a fine line between hilarious and cringe. I just want to say that. Just point that out. It's a fine line. Fine line.
Okay, Malcolm.
I'm just saying. It's a fine line, my brother. It's a fine line, my brother. Mm-hmm. Now, Nicole makes up this high school game that allows Lifetime to finally pay off the season-long tease that they've been giving us. Was it worth it?
No. Even went to a commercial break, you know, right before Dom's throw. I'm like, why are we dragging this out? We know that they kissed.
Exactly.
Just go ahead and show it. Now, what I thought was interesting, their first kiss, which mm-hmm. and everybody like turned around and all, I'm like, y'all are acting like children. This, they're just kissing. They're not about to do porn. You yeah. know, they're just kissing. So the first kiss, I just thought maybe it'd just be like, you know, maybe 5 seconds. But I was like, oh, they really enjoyed that one. And then he did it again, which leads me to believe this is not their first time kissing, that they've hung out a few times.
Well, there's that. It could be. Or maybe he's just like, I think, look, Clint looked like he was a little tipsy. So his courage was up, the liquid courage was up. And so he's just like, go back in for another one. And, you know, Keedy points out that they've been teasing this since episode 4. So for 19 episodes, they've been teasing this damn kiss to the point that we stop even paying attention to it.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe Clint, maybe they're not going to work out, but maybe Clint's just a little black curious and just wants to see what it's like. See how his sailboat handles those waters.
What do you think of Gina's reaction? Gina's like, well, you know, that solidifies everything for me because I felt nothing.
Just like any man who's with her. Yeah. I thought it was a dumb comment for her to make. Like, we all know you felt nothing. You've said that from the very beginning. You didn't need this kiss to seal the deal. Like, you know what? I'm over this now. This is my closure. That's BS.
Oh, man. Well, look. So in 2 weeks, we're back for the reunion. This is where it's going to get interesting because I think there's a lot more stuff coming out in the reunion that because now they're really getting to see all the things. Are we excited about the reunion?
I want to see some drama. You've dragged this out this long. You owe us something, you know, for what we've gone through. So you better bring me some drama, especially a two-part reunion. Mm-hmm. And everybody's wearing matching suits and outfits. I'm like, when y'all start doing that?
Okay, so here's the thing, too. I noticed that they did talk about Clint and Gina, and we talked about this could potentially at some point, right? Do you think they may have
who?
Clint and Gina, because and part of the tease for the reunion, it looks like they may be getting a little closer.
I don't know. I think they're just friend zoned. Mm-hmm. I don't see how either of them could come back to even on a drunk night.
Yeah,
I don't see how you can come back to being together after all that. If they are, then they're better than me. I couldn't do it.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, who knows? I mean, one day he's picking up Hank. Hank goes in for a kiss and, you know.
And so
Gina slips in somewhere.
She just moves her Muppet head in front of Hank. Yeah. With that big, I feel like she might swallow his face. That mouth is just so.
What? Anybody you think that didn't make it that could potentially be back together, new couples that we'll see at the reunion? Any predictions? We got 2 weeks to get to it, but any predictions?
You know, unfortunately, I think that Shaq and Kirsten are going to wind up being back together.
I hope not. I really hope not. I don't see that. I think she's done. I don't see her giving him a second chance after doing that but there are a lot of people calling for it, so.
Well, because what we've all said, and even what Pastor Cal said, Shaq's not going to do any better.
No, he's not. That's
he's not.
I think he realized that. That's probably why he was crying. He was like, "Oh,
yeah, yeah." I mean, he's not going to do it. So I can see him trying to go. At least he's going to try to put a good effort in to get her back. But yeah. I think that'd be the only ones. Jasmine Harris never going to happen. Dom and Mac never going to happen, and I don't think Clint and Gina will happen.
I don't think Dom. Mac and Gina are going to make it either. Elena says this wasn't a reunion. No, it wasn't. Unfortunately, we still got two more episodes to go. Three, if you count next week's, which we're skipping. So, but Summer House will be back for 90 Day Fiance. Love in Paradise. Before the 90 days just started, though. So, and you know, we're about to be finished with this one. So there's another one to look at. 90 day before the 90 days, and that's an interesting one. I've got a brother that's going to Barbados, and a brother that's going to forget where he was headed. Vietnam.
Yeah, but I gotta say, your opinion's a little sus, as the youth say, because you also said 90 Day Fiance, Love in Paradise was good. It's a good one. Mm. And we're having a lot of fun with that one. You also said Ready to Love. We got to do Ready to Love. Oh, barely made it through one season of that.
Hey, Ready to and but I will say this. You were fine with Ready to Love.
I was fine with making fun of that crap. But I was like, we're not doing this again. You know, I think it was after episode two. I'm like, tell your prayer warriors right now, don't even think about there being another season of this one. I'm not for Terrell. You're going to have to sub. You have to bring in the lefty because I'm not doing it.
Oh, my God. Hey, everybody in here, appreciate you. Make sure you hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. And also, if you're listening to this or watching this later, make sure you go ahead and drop a comment, all right?
And you also have something to talk about that's happening in July.
What's that?
Jerkfest.
The meet and greet at Jerkfest? Yeah, July 15th. Yes, exactly. Saturday, July 15th, Charleston Caribbean Jerk Festival. So, hey, it's going to be a great time, man. Terrell found out that he's actually really attracted to women in Charleston when he was there last year. So,
then I made like that in Austin, Texas.
Something in the water.
Just don't know. Them Geechies. That's all it is.
Hey, I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yachty Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit on the internet, and we'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.